Good morning, Keyser Falls Assembly of God. I hope that you are having a wonderful day and a wonderful year. It's been a very difficult year, 2021, but the Lord has been with us. He has guided us, and he is giving us strength. And you'll be listening to this after Christmas, but it is meant to be something of a Christmas message and also a start to a new series about our beliefs, our doctrine. But as we are inching closer to Christmas of this recording, I'm sure that you know that your children and grandchildren don't simply know how many days till Christmas morning, but how many hours. Now, this has been another Christmas season full of so much uncertainty. It has not been the Christmas season that many of us have expected. However, it's important and healthy to remember that despite our situations, why we celebrate and honor Christ Jesus, why it's important that we remember his coming, especially this year. To do so, we're going to be looking at John chapter 1 today, but we begin with the reading of God's Word from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." This morning, I would like us to begin to understand Christmas as more than just a holiday. I would like us to understand Christmas through the person of Jesus and through three titles or categories the Gospel of John shares with us about Jesus: those of the Word, the Light, and the Lamb. And to begin to understand what the Apostle John meant and means by using those three categories, we need to start out not simply with the incarnation to understand this, but at the very beginning. The Gospel of John opens the Nativity story. Before the Nativity story, it opens before creation. And John states in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And your first thought might be, the beginning of what? Well, the disciple, then the apostle John, one of the 12, opens his testimony of the good news of Jesus by referring back to the very beginning, quoting from Genesis chapter 1:1, which reads, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John's account looks to the first page of Scripture and opens the same way until the fourth word in our English Bibles, God. Instead of using God, instead of writing God, John writes, "was the Word." Now, the title or category, the Word, is not very familiar or well understood by your average 21st century American. And it's not your fault, because that word in Greek is logos, and that encompasses a lot more than you can fit into a single title. For many non-Jews called Gentiles in the world at the time of Jesus, when the Bible was written, the logos, or the Word, was reason and wisdom. As a sort of a intermediary or bridge from God to humanity. But for the ancient Jewish person, again at the time of Jesus, the Word, the Logos, had a different understanding. The Word was God in action. For when God spoke in the Old Testament, that's when things began to happen. What the Apostle John is telling both of those ancient groups, Jews and Gentiles, and we here today, in his first line of his first verse, is that the Word, this Logos, is both the one who bridges the gap between God and man, and God in action. And furthermore, by placing the Word, who John is about to explain to us as Jesus, right where Genesis says God created the heavens and the earth, John is declaring that Jesus is God and the creator of all things. In just half a verse, the Apostle John, who knew Jesus and followed him, who witnessed his miracles, listened to his teaching, and saw him die on the cross, and then 3 days later met this dead man alive again and well, declares to us that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Now that's a lot to take in for just half a verse. And for all of us who didn't grow up in that background, John explains this a little more in the second half of verse 1 and says the Word, the Logos, Jesus, was with God. The Word was God. Now John, he doesn't leave Genesis but continues to explain this pre-nativity Christmas story in John 1 verses 2 through 5. And it begins in verse 2. You notice here that John declares the Logos, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Now compare that, what we just read, and I hope you have your Bible open. Compare that to Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, which reads, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did you catch how John picks up in verse 2 that the first thing God does, how God acts, is to create light and expel light? Darkness. Did you catch that? This is meant to be both literal and metaphorical, so, you know, whichever way your mind went, you're half right. And let's ask this, by what means, what way does God create this light in verse 3? God said. God spoke the Word. John wants every one of us to understand, before we understand anything else about what Jesus did or try to apply it to our lives, that the foundation of Jesus' life and teaching, death and resurrection from the dead, can only be understood with the most foundational belief that Jesus was not just some kid from Bethlehem, nor just a prophet, nor just a king. Jesus was and is God, relating to and creating all that is. Jesus is the eternal person and expression of God relating to us, come into this world for the purpose of redeeming a broken and lost humanity. The God who creates light and expels darkness, which gives us our second category for Jesus. The first one is the Word. The second is in John 1:5, that Jesus is not simply the creator of light, but that he metaphorically is the light that expels darkness. The Apostle John then brings this very lofty and all-encompassing concept in person down to our world and tells us in verses 6 through 8 that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is not the John who is writing, but he's referring to John the Baptist. Just like today, John was a popular name back then. And so John the Baptist, this sort of final Old Testament prophet, verse 7, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. So the Word, God relating to us, is symbolized as light. When he, Jesus, came into the world that very first Christmas, verses 9 through 14. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word is a title that tells us who Jesus is. Light is a title that tells us the purpose of Jesus' birth and ministry. He came, God came in the flesh, as our mediator, full of grace, meaning the love and favor of God upon us, and truth, to take the darkness from each and every one of us that might see the truth through Him, that we might believe and no longer be held in the darkness. And so we ask then, what is this darkness, this thing that Jesus, our light, expels and was and has been rejected by many for? Well, looking ahead to verses 29 to 34, we see that John the Baptist and John the Apostle tell us about Jesus, his light, in his third title to answer that question. Begins verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." John calls Jesus his third title, the Lamb of God, after he sees the Spirit of God come upon him, a sort of anointing and consecration. And then we learn the reason why he came as our go-between and as our light. What he has come to expose and expel is the sin of the world. How he does this is by being our intermediary, our logos, God in action, our light, and our sacrifice. Being distant in time from the ancient world, we may not think about sacrifice much today. But lambs or sheep were dedicated and sacrificed to God as a constant. In the first books of the Bible, sheep were used to symbolically wash away sin and provide for the practical needs of the believing community. Of course, most understood that no matter how many sheep you sacrifice, it cannot cover or atone for the sins of anyone. So really what these sacrifices were, they were an act of obedience to God, a means of showing how serious our sin is. Evil and rebellion are. Sacrifice was an act of trust, admitting our faults, understanding only God can remove that sin, and that sin must somehow be paid for. Sacrifice, blood being shed, shows the needed punishment to be doled out to forgive sin. A perfect, holy, and good God cannot ignore the guilt of our sin, and he doesn't. But instead of punishing us, he came in Jesus as the Lamb of God. What all the other sacrifices were pointing to all along, the one sent by God to finally deal with the ultimate problem, not just to recognize it. The Word, the Light, the Lamb, Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, came on that first Christmas to bridge the gap of God and humanity. To expose our need for forgiveness, to expel the darkness of sin, and lay down his life as the perfect, sinless man, as the sacrifice to take our guilt and our place for our sin and our evil. And before that first Christmas morning, that was the plan of God, to give us the perfect gift of love. Jesus, the humble servant to humanity, to redeem us. This is the heart of Christmas. And this heart of Christmas is what the world gets so confused about. and thinks that Christmas is about doing things. We as Christians can be influenced and forget. Our whole Decembers may become about shopping and events and appeasing obscure relatives and pageants and decorating. And I'm no Grinch. None of these things are immoral or wrong in and of themselves. In fact, some of these things are quite good, just as long as they don't replace the gift you have been given. For some of you, the hardest thing you will do this whole Christmas season is to sit and to rest in what God, through Christ Jesus, has done for you. Before the plague hit us, I was talking to one member of our church family, overwhelmed and having something of a near panic attack. I'm being purposely vague, but this person had fallen into 4 or 5 major events in a 2-day period, just days before Christmas. Again, individually, nothing that was planned was bad. In fact, all of it was quite good if it had been maybe spread out over more than 2 days. But what had Christmas become to this person? A burden, a vast list of chores. Now, as someone who has fallen into this trap before, of Christmas becoming about everything around Christ, but apart from Christ Jesus, I'm only going to hypocritically criticize not this person, who really could be any one of us, but this mistake. The Creator of the universe embodied himself in human form and drastically changed all that was and is and ever will be, and it was not to then build and participate in the holiday with so much hustle and bustle. We either forget in our own actions or actually forget in reality why he came in the first place. Jesus came on Christmas because of what we couldn't do so he could begin the process of redemption. Christmas has never been about us doing. It's always been about receiving gifts of God, gifts of love, goodness, and sufficiency. The gift of Jesus. Think about Christmas this way. Jesus as the Word, as the Logos, is God showing us his love. He could have left us in sin and the effects of the eternal separation and punishment, but instead chose through Jesus himself to enter into our world, to act, to bridge the gap, and meet us on Christmas. He came out of love as the only means and only gift that could change the world and ourselves. The Word shows us God's gift of love. Likewise, Jesus as the light is showing us his goodness. To redeem, God must expose sin, not ignore it. Jesus is the light away from evil, who is not overcome by darkness, but overcomes it. He came because he is good and is the only one who can break the powers of sin, death, and evil. The light shows us God's gift of goodness. Now, the first two are wonderful and necessary gifts, but they don't change our condition in and of themselves until you realize that Jesus is also the Lamb, God showing us and purchasing for us redemption, that he is able and sufficient and the one means to make humanity right with God. Jesus came to pay for our sin by laying down his life in our place, and paying for our guilt and evil. God's gift of sufficiency. In Jesus, we have been given life, hope, and redemption. So today, whatever stress you are feeling, whatever issue you are facing, take a moment, maybe more than one, to reflect on why Jesus came and came to serve you this Christmas. Put Christmas into its correct perspective as the universe-changing event that it is. Take some time to reflect on the Word, the Light, and the Lamb, putting aside all other, less important things, and take joy and find peace and rest in our Savior, Jesus, our King, who loves you, who is good to you, and is more than enough for you. Lord, help us to do this today. In all the hustle and bustle, and all the things that we are doing. Help us to realize that Christmas is about receiving your gift, receiving Jesus. Forgive us if we have gotten taken in by what the holiday has become and not what you have always intended it to be. Help us, Lord, to sit, to think on you, reflect on what you have done, on the Word, on the light, and on the Lamb. And Lord, let us pray the way you have taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a very merry Christmas. Amen.